So anyways, before we get started, I'm just gonna open up with prayer. So if you guys want to just bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the sunshine. Lord, thank you so much for giving us life today and being here. Lord, I pray for each and everyone on this call, and just especially for them, and just bless them as they keep tuning in and they want to learn more and they want to discuss. And I encourage you to help others, you know, find this Zoom or just time to like hop on the call with us and just, you know, lead out and just pray more. Lord, I pray for every individual that's suffering right now. Please just be by their side and help them get through this heartache. I know that you envision a bigger plan. I know that you have something better in mind, Lord. So please be with them. Lord, please be with me through this next half hour-ish as I try and talk about your word, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. So this week I was kind of I think it's a little more informal. I really like the discussions we had last week about if you guys were on here, we talked about, well, I talked about my favorite memory verse and what it meant to me and how it's helped me, and I gave you guys some personal stories from my life. And so this week I kind of want to continue that in a sense, just talking about what is a God moment to you. Was there ever a time in your life when, you know, maybe you've prayed, maybe you kind of struggle to understand what is happening, and but at one certain moment, you know, you're like, oh, like God just did that for me. He you know, cleared that path, or he helped me understand this, or he did that. Was there ever a time in your life when you experienced heartache, or you experienced hardship in the sense that you didn't understand, but then all of a sudden it just became clear and you knew that it was God that did that? Have any of you guys, you know, had these, like, I call them God moments, but maybe they're called something else? Because, like, I want to share, but I want somebody to I don't want to like force anybody, but hearing people's experiences I think encourages others, and maybe they have similar stories but they're scared to like jump in and, you know, talk. But I know that when we have like youth summits here in Canada, when especially so it happens every 2 year, all of Canada's youth gathers a place, and we, you know, we hear all these stories, these speakers, these amazing, like, you know, strong, like minded adults or young adults, you know, that tell us their story, and I'm always like, wow, like, why don't I have a story like that? But then I sit back and I'm like, what I do have, you know, everyone personally has different stories from, you know, the littlest thing, and it could be like the biggest thing that's happened in your life, you know, but those are still your God moments. So, you know, I sometimes I'm like, wow, God, why don't I have such an ex you know, this experience? Why didn't you like put me through this so I can, you know, be able to tell the story? It's like, but it's not like that, you know. Everyone experiences things in their own way, and for their, you know, in their own like time setting, I guess. So have you guys ever had one? Like, I know I have one, but I want someone to start off before I go, and then like somebody can continue. I really want us to like share and just like, you know, learn from each other and maybe like help others understand. Because I know that, you know, speaking and just like talking to others helps me a lot. You know, it's great that, you know, we can come on here and listen to somebody, you know, go dive deep into something. But I want to try a little something different with you guys. So if you guys don't mind sharing, it could be anything. I'd love to hear it. I know, I'm sure we all would appreciate it. So nobody has a story. Okay. Well, okay, I'll share one of my stories, I guess. When I had like my first God moment, I think. It was, I think I was like four. I'm not really, I was back home is in Moldova. It's in Europe. It's a little country in Europe. That's where I was born, and we moved to Canada when I was six. Anyways, I think I was four. My sister was two at that time. And I remember, so I grew up from as have SDA family since I was like born. Like my parents are SDA and family and all that. So, you know, God has always been present in my life. So, you know, church on Saturdays was always a thing. Like I don't think I've ever missed church until like I was in high school and I was like, you know, sometimes I was sick or something. But it was always like a regular thing. Like it was weird for me to not be at church. It was like I felt weird. Like I know one time we had to miss church for I think our car broke down and it was just like we had like our own little church service at home and it just felt so weird. Like the week just felt like blah almost. But anyway, so church has always been a thing, you know. My parents have always been, you know, rocks in that side of things. But anyway, so it was a Sunday. I remember clearly we were going to I would say a park back home. It's not really like it's just basically a forest and people just like meet up and they like create kind of their own space to like hang out, if that makes any sense. It's not very like taken care of in a sense where there's like, you know, the grass is like mowed and all that stuff. So it was like a wild forest I would kind of just like to give envision. So you know, we went there and it was for my uncle's birthday and I remember it being very nice outside. And then all of a sudden, you know, we hear like, you know, when thunder is rumbling in the background, you can't really see the clouds yet, but you hear, you know, the thunder. And so I just want to envision like we're kind of the forest is kind of on top of this hill, like sort of thing. And at the bottom is this humongous lake. So in order for you to get off of this hill, you have to go down the road and it's like right on the edge of the lake to go to the street or like the highway as they would say. And so I remember my mom telling my dad, like, hey, we know it's, you know, we gotta go, like we're in this like wild forest, you know, there's no clear path really, like for the cars, you know, like it would be really really muddy. And they're like, oh, it's gonna pass by, it's gonna pass by. So I don't blame this, but it was all like my dad and all my uncles, they were playing like volleyball and stuff. And then it was the women who were really like, we should go, we should go. And they're like, oh, you guys are just like worrying too much. So I'm not blaming any men or anything. I'm just like, in this story, it's just like, it was all of them that were like, nah, let's just keep staying. Anyways, so I think it was a good half an hour passed. And like, I have really good memory of this because it was like literally like my first God moment. So like, I have it, like, I can still see it perfectly. Like, I remember what I was wearing. It was just like crazy. But anyways, so it started like raining. And then they're like, okay, I guess we gotta go. And then in like a matter of split seconds, like I'm not even kidding when I say it just started pouring like just cats and dogs. It was unreal. Like, so we get in our cars and people are like scrambling to take all the things and pack up their cars. And by the time we do that, you know, a first car goes kind of and it sort of, you know, digs into the grass and then it breaks through into the mud. And then, you know, another car goes and it gets stuck. And so it's that kind of thing. And now basically everyone was stuck. But we were outside of the forest now. So now it was either time to either go down the hill with our cars. And that was very dangerous because literally there was water just rolling down, you know, like, so there was no way you had control of the car if you were to go down that hill because the water would literally just push you into the lake. So on both sides, there was a lake, the road was in the middle. And I remember me and my sister were in the back seat, and my mom was in the front, and my dad was helping, you know, pull out some other cars. They were kind of like doing a sort of one car by one car kind of thing. And I remember like no one was getting crossed, and so we were all just kind of stuck there. And I'm really scared of the dark, so it's getting dark. And so I was hearing, you know, people outside, they were saying like how we're probably gonna have to stay here overnight or like walk to wherever we need to go. And I was panicking because I was like, I'm so scared of the dark and it was raining and thunder and the lake and there was mud. And as a little kid, that would be like, you know, it was scary. It was a frightening moment for me. And so I remember when I started panicking, my sister didn't really understand. She was two. And I remember when I started crying, she kind of understood like, oh, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. So she started panicking. So she started crying. Like she probably doesn't really know what she's crying about, but she's crying too. So at this point, my mom's just like, girls, we gotta pray. And I was like, what is prayer gonna do? And I was like, so like, but at the same time, as a kid, I didn't know anything else. I was like, what is prayer going to do? But sure, let's try it. So I remember we were sitting, I was on the left side, my sister was on the right side, and my mom, she just kind of like turned around and held our hands together, and we prayed, and I don't even remember what we prayed. We prayed for a really long time is all I remember, because when we were done praying, the rain had stopped. And that was like just crazy for me. I was just shook. As a kid, and I was like, what? And she's like, see, God heard your prayers. And she always emphasizes how, you know, when kids come to God to help, especially for help, you know, he always loves the little ones, and, you know, us too, and everyone. But like, so when we were little, she always emphasized how much, you know, children meant to God. So after that prayer, we looked outside, and it was getting dark still, but the rain had stopped. And so it kind of cleared out the wind a little. And then we can see in a distance this tractor coming towards our way. And I didn't really understand what was going on, but he had like one of those like pull rope thingers that, you know, you hook a car up and like it, you know, I don't even know what they're called. So basically one by one, he was able to, so we weren't going to go down this hill. We were actually going to cut across it on the top and just continue through along the edge of the forest and get to the nearest city, basically. So I remember sitting in the car, and we were waiting for our turn, basically. My dad gets in, and he's like, did you know, guys notice how the rain just, like, it didn't slow down, but it just stopped. Just, like, it was, like, you know, slowly the rain went away. It was, like, it just stopped. And my mom was like, yeah, we prayed for it. And I was just, like, mind blown. I was just, like, you know, inside I just had this, like, huge, like, respect almost. I was like, God, like, you really did this for us. Like, you really looked at like however many, I don't even know how many cars there are, but I was like, you really like cared for us to like, you know, stop the rain so like, you know, the mud could at least stop like us from sliding down this hill. And so I was just like astonished almost. Like, so we got home, and I remember we like hosed down and we were all muddy and stuff. And that night I had nightmares. It was the only time in my life I've ever had nightmares. Like, I've never had a nightmare since then. And I remember having nightmares that night I kept envisioning the whole situation and that we were actually going to get into this lake with our cars. And so I remember my dad coming into my room. He's like, Olivia, like, what's happening? And so I was like, explaining to him. And he's like, well, you shouldn't have, if God was able to do that for us, don't you think that he's able to, like, you know, clear your mind, calm you down? Don't you think that, you know, he's able to do so much more for you and, you know, just hold you? And so we prayed again, and then I fell asleep. So I don't remember the next morning. I don't remember anything. I just remember that day, that evening, the whole thing. But like before or after, I don't remember it. I just remember that I had it, and then I had a nightmare. I've never had a nightmare since then. It's just crazy, but I never did. Even though I think crazier things have happened to me since then. But that was my very first God moment, when I was able to literally put my entire life and just basically everyone and just like say, like, literally beg for God to help us in the situation. Because, you know, it doesn't sound bad, but if you guys saw it, like, I was back home last year, and I remember I was like, that's where we were stuck. And I was like, that is a very steep hill. And I just like see the lakes are still there. And now there's like, obviously, like, it's paved and everything, but it wasn't like that. So just like that, I remember the water rushing down. And it was just like, wow, like, it's very steep on the hill. There was so much mud. And so like, it was a big, huge thing, or a huge thing for me at that time too. And so the fact that God was able to, you know, show us through that event in a miraculous way, and for me to be able to remember it to this day and have it in my heart and just like be able to tell people about it from such a young age is like huge. So that was like my very first God moment, or experience with God. I don't really know what you guys would call it. That's what I call it. But do you guys have anything, you know, that you guys have experienced, like, little or not?
Yeah, I have a God moment, a place where he really protected my life. And thank you for sharing yours, Olivia. Thank you for doing that. So I was driving home late one night after a service and outing with our young adults, and before, and Tim, you actually might have been there for this. A friend of ours said, "I just feel like we need to pray. Like, we just need to pray before we all leave." And we did. And then I'm driving on the interstate, and I hear a noise and didn't really pay much attention to it, but it caught my attention that I saw the check gauges light come on and on my car. And I'm like, that's not good. And then, but I'm going straight, so I don't really notice anything until I had to take a turn, kind of veer on the interstate, and my car steering is, it's not really moving very much. And I'm going like 60 miles an hour, and that's not very, and I'm starting to really not feel so good. I'm having to muscle this car to turn it, and I'm barely moving it. So I get off the interstate as fast as I can. I head towards my parents' house because it's closer than my apartment at the time. And I'm like trying to get to their place. And the more I have to turn the car, the harder it is to steer it. And I'm really starting to panic because this is not good. And it got to the point where I had to take like four lanes to turn, to make a turn on the streets. And so I park the car. It's not even straight. I don't care if it's straight. I finally get home. My dad comes in and he says, "Why is your car parked like that?" And I tell him what I just explained. Like, I don't know what happened, but my car is not turning right. So he goes, he said, "Well, let me check it." He goes out and he sees that the serpentine belt is snapped and is hanging off of something in the car, in the, like, off the engine. And he comes in and he says, "Your serpentine belt is dangling," I think was his word, "is dangling off of something." And I'm no expert on cars, but I do know that if you don't have a serpentine belt, you don't have a car. The serpentine belt, it kind of acts like the part of the, it's a piece that kind of makes everything run smoothly. And without a serpentine belt, everything just stops. And he's like, I explained what happened. He said, "Your serpentine belt probably snapped on the middle of the interstate and you had to have driven. He said, "You can't drive without a serpentine belt. You can't do it. You just can't do it." And so you had to have had that belt. That belt had to have come off somewhere there. So we take it to the mechanic. They tow it. We tow it away, take it to the mechanic, and he pretty much said the same thing. Like, yeah, that belt was already cracked. But, yeah, it cracked, and it's a miracle that you made it. So I looked at that as Psalm 91, him protecting me and giving me wisdom on how to steer the car and where to go, and protected me because I could have easily died that night without that. Cause, I mean, I was going like 65 when it happened, and easily, because what would have happened is the steering, because it affects like the steering. So it would have locked the steering in place to where I couldn't turn the car at all. And so having that amount of play to where I could at least steer somewhat kept me from just going straight into something and just, yeah. So that was a moment that I really, you know, look back on with much thanksgiving, that he really intervened and saved my life, because that was just from the mechanics of the car, that shouldn't have happened for me to be able to do that, even with that snap. So I'm thankful for that.
God bless. Thank you so much for sharing. That's huge.
And especially being Dallas, our crazy highways, it could be a recipe for disaster.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you so much. And I know that Lynn May wanted to share after you, I think.
Hi. Yeah, sorry if you heard anything in the background, sorry. But yeah, my moment was while I was in college, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I was born Adventist, raised in an Adventist family, but I never actually took church seriously. I remember I would often even skip church Saturday mornings just so I could watch Saturday morning cartoons on TV. Like, fake that I was sick just so I could stay home and watch those cartoons and whatever. So I never actually took church that seriously, but there was always something that kept me in it, maybe fear. Since, you know, talk about the end of the world and all these other things, prophecy and things that are mentioned, especially in the Seventh-day Adventist faith. So my moment was when I was in college. Often I would drive to school, and where I am in Florida, I live in West Palm, and I went to school almost an hour away, which is in Fort Lauderdale. So I would sometimes drive there if I couldn't catch the train to go to school. So the car that we had was, I forgot what year, but it was a Ford Focus. After a while, it was starting to act up and everything. It would literally turn off in the middle of the road. It would shake. Whenever we're driving, have these little, these spasms, I guess. And then when you felt that, you know the car would stop, and then afterwards it would just basically die. And you'd have to, you know, put the car, I guess, in the off position and turn it back on and hope that it starts again while you're in the middle of the road. And sometimes it would click also, and the clicking also meant that the car would probably stop, or maybe that was before it would start to shake. Either way, the car was just, it was bad. It was getting in a bad state. So I was kind of risking it going to school, but around that time it seemed like the car was, maybe it was just me being hopeful, but the car seemed like it was maybe okay enough for me to go to school with. So I went to school that day. That night I was driving back home, and I'm on the highway, and this is more the earlier years when I actually finally driving off to faraway places on my own. So school to me was pretty far, and driving at night after my last class, which ended at 10 at night, I'm on the highway by myself, which is already a little intimidating. And I'm driving home, and the car starts to do that. And I'm nowhere near home at all. I probably left the school maybe 5 minutes ago or a little more at that point. So it starts to do that shaking thing. It does again, and it clicks. It's like, it was a little scary for me because I was starting to panic, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't. This is the only car that we have. I have it. If I'm stuck here in the middle of the road, how's anyone going to come and help me out? I didn't know anything. All I knew was go to school, come home, go to church, come home. That's it. So the car was starting to do all those little things that it does when it's about to die. And I started to panic, and I called my mom. So she told me to pull off on the side, which, by the way, I was on the speeding lane, or that last lane on the highway. So I had to maneuver my way all the way to the side of the road, where cars would typically pull over. And she told me to calm down, and she said, let's pray. So I didn't really think anything was going to happen after prayer. I was just like, all right, let's just pray. And I'm freaking out. So she's like, let's just pray. I close my eyes, we pray. And by the way, the car had died when I pulled over. So we prayed. And after we prayed, she's like, all right, now start the car. I started the car. And let me tell you, the car started, and it drove me home without anything. It never had any problems at all. And I was crying the whole way. I was like, every time I tell the story, I feel like I get a little emotional because that was, for me, that's when I actually took this walk seriously. And that's when I officially, like, I got baptized, like, in 2004 when I was in middle school during one of our prayer weeks or week of prayers. We would have chapel on Friday and everything. So it was just then, like, in my 20s, that I actually, you know, decided, all right, God, you did this for me. Even though I've done nothing for you, you know, I'm just the way that I am, who I am. I can't believe that you even did that for me. And that just opened my eyes up to God's love. And I just, you know, from that moment on, I was like, all right, I'm actually going to try. I'm going to take church seriously. I'm going to take this walk seriously. And I'm not going to look back anymore. So that was basically my moment, just the way that car just drove me home without any issues. Nothing. Beautiful. No clicking, no shaking, because every time we drove the car, it did that. Every single time we drove it, it did that. And that night after we prayed, it took me all the way home, like maybe 45 or so minutes without anything. I was just wow. So yeah, that was mine.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing. It's such a touching story. Thank you for sharing. I think Tim wanted to share next.
Yes. So it was years ago, but it was when we moved from Tennessee to Texas, and it kind of came on like this, where we were driving down a highway, and a storm kind of came out of nowhere. And it, first it was like it's a normal rainstorm. You could drive through a rainstorm. But at one point it started to flood. And a traffic jam started to build up, where there were some cars that were trying to like park to stay out of the rain. Other cars were trying to keep moving forward. And it came to a point where it was more a rural part of the highway. And we could see that if we stayed in that one location trying to escape the rain, that whole area would have flooded. But there's also a chance that if we keep driving, the road could still flood. And we had to make a decision, do we, at this point, stay where we are on the highway and just try to see if we toughen it out and hopefully they won't keep flooding, or do we try to kind of go forward towards the water where it could end up flooding the whole entire highway? And made the decision that since we are leaving our whole lives in Tennessee and trying to start a new life in Texas, that we would make the decision to plow through towards the water that was kind of high. And there was a 18-wheeler that was in front of us, and we followed the 18-wheeler, kind of using it as a NASCAR type of drafting, follow it. And or drag to follow them, and we followed that 18-wheeler all the way through like the high waters to the point that it was pretty much above our tires, and somehow we made it through prayer and pushing it through. Now I probably never do that again, but from that one moment I saw that God was trying to take us away from the life we had back in Tennessee to the new life He was bringing us here in Texas, and every blessing, every person, every opportunity that was here in Texas. And I go back in that time every once in a while when I have to go through something tough and I feel like just stopping in the middle, and I remind myself, I stop in the middle, I can still be overtaken by this trial. And even though I don't want to go any deeper into the trial, but if I keep going forward and keep pushing through, eventually I will get out. And I look back on that memory for that reason.
Awesome. It's kind of funny how all our stories have to do with like cars and like.
I think we found a good theme. It's like we have different stories that we can share, but it resonates with everyone.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't be driving anymore.
It's a horse and buggy. Horse and buggy.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, we should just, like, you know, get the wagon back on. there was no intention. No one knew. I was just, that was my first story. And then people just started sharing. So that's kind of funny. So thank you for sharing. That's truly wonderful. Like, God works in so many ways. I know, Reggie, would you want to share?
Okay, and believe it or not, it's also about cars.
That's
it. So, on our way to church, my sister and my dad and I were heading to church, and this was like 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and everything was fine. We in the church in Austin, Texas, it was on a very narrow road. It was a lot of farmland. The church was one of the only buildings out there besides like where you keep tractors and whatever. And so they had a very narrow highway by Route 66 right in front of the big church. And we had to go down the highway and then make a simple right turn into the church. Well, funny thing happened going towards the church. A red SUV decided to drive directly into our lane, and we were definitely heading into a head-on collision. And we were going full speed on the highway, and the red SUV was going, it came on our side from its side, and we were going like this. And then my sister was screaming, and I was trying to process what was happening. My dad was driving at the time, and my dad started turning the wheel, and you heard the tires screeching. And here we're just trying to get to church, and the church was right there, just ahead of us. But as we got away from the red car, there was a black SUV after that also decided to go into our lane. So my dad went from the red SUV to get out of the way of the black SUV. Then we were heading into the rest of the oncoming traffic. And then we had to get away from the traffic and not run into a pole in the midst of all this. And we just somehow, before we knew it, we were on the right road. And we were safe. And we prayed after that, saying that God kept us. And of course, we always pray before we go driving. And it was just like, oh, angels are real. Oh, this almost happened. We could have got in a head-on collision going to church. But, you know, that's just one story. You know, we have other stories, but that's one story I wanted to share.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. If there's anybody else that wants to share, you guys can go for it. But it's truly inspiring. I think it's something we need to hear, you know, not just your own personal experiences, just, you know, more people can identify, but just, it's just uplifting because you know you're not the owner. You know, you can see that God works in so many people's ways and lives and just in different ways, and it's uplifting for me. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but when I just hear stories, especially when it's somebody that, you know, I don't really know you guys personally, but you know, I've seen you guys on these calls, and so it's like I know you, but so it's just inspiring for me, because sometimes there is a lack of, like, you know, God's like not doing anything. So when you hear other people's stories, it's like, okay, so God is working, you know, maybe I'm just waiting for something, especially if like I'm praying for something and it's just not happening or not going the way I planned. You know, and someone's like, oh, God did this for me this week. And I was like, okay, so God is doing something. He's not just chilling. Like, you know, he is working. yeah, if who has a story, you guys can, my chat thing isn't opening, but I saw the notification. Somebody says they have a car story. Evie or Evi or?
Evie.
No, Evie, sorry. Isa, you have a story.
Hi, everyone. I'm actually part of Canyon Creek Project. Welcome. So this is like my first time with you guys. And I'm really, really inspired by all of the stories that I've heard today. It's like they've really like touched my heart and made me realize, you know, the fact that God is so real. Mm-hmm. For each one of us. So quick background story. I'm actually from the Cayman Islands. I moved to Texas about 4 years ago. So a couple of months after I moved to Texas, I was on my way to work when I was in this huge car accident. It was about four cars on 635. All probably were going about 75, 80 miles per hour. And I remember my head hitting the glass in the window and the entire window shattered. And I didn't even get a cut. Like, and that, my car got completely totaled. And to me, that was like one of the times where I was like, you know what, God was there. There's no other way that I would be alive today if God had not kept me safe. Mm-hmm. Because my head hitting the glass window, I'm completely breaking it, and for me not even to have one cut, I was covering glass, like the ambulance came, like I ended up with a cracked rib. That was like the only thing. But and then looking at the car, like you would have thought, you know, I could be dead. And I'm alive today because God intervened. There's no other way. There's nothing else. And yeah. It's not even the first time that God saves my life. So to me, it's so amazing that no matter what, like how many times I've disappointed him, mm-hmm. He is always, always there.
Yeah.
And I find comfort in that.
Sorry for what happened, but amen to what God did. and your story, that's, yeah, wow. I don't know what 635 is, but I guess you guys do.
It's a terrible highway. That's what it is.
It is an insane highway here in Dallas that is always full of traffic and it's always got people that don't know the speed limit. So
we had an opportunity to have the Olympics here in Dallas one time, and because our highway system was not up to par, we lost a bid. So 635 to blame for that.
Wow.
Yeah, actually, my experience and my story started on 635. So it's interesting.
And what's the speed limit on that?
Well, there's the posted speed, and then there's the speed limit that people give. So it depends. It's around
Let's
like
just say
65.
No one follows it.
Yes.
Interesting.
If you want to drive the speed limit, you're probably going to get hit because everyone's driving super. Way faster than you, so you gotta.
Yeah.
The speed limit is set to NASCAR.
Wow, yeah. You guys are rowdy down there.
I just thought of a bonus story I want to share right quick if I could.
Yeah.
So 10, 12 years ago, my girlfriend at the time, my ex-girlfriend now, she and her brother were on a cross country trip, and I knew about it. And then in the middle of the night, I got up around 3 o'clock in the morning and I just prayed a prayer of protection. Next morning, I don't know how I got the information, but either her brother contacted me or she did. And they pointed out that they were in a total wreck, and they wrecked in the snow, and they needed jaws of life, but they had no injuries. And her brother was on Facebook, and he took a picture of this strange indentation underneath the car, which didn't make any sense, because it was basically an indentation of like a body underneath a solid dusting of snow. So he summarized that an angel had came in and did something with the car, because it made no sense that with a fresh powder of snow to have a body outline underneath the car. So he took a picture of that. I remember seeing that. That was really wild, and it happened the same time that I prayed.
Wow.
That's incredible.
I have goosebumps. That's unreal. Do you know if they still have this photo? I'm like intrigued.
I can look up his Facebook and see.
I know it's probably a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a while back, but I can look up and see if they still have the photo. But yeah.
More miracles happen around cars apparently than any other.
I don't know.
Apparently on this call at least.
I don't know. We all choosing risky, I don't know, cars, or we're risky drivers, or I don't know what it is. God's there for us. That's more of this call.
Easy things happen on the road.
Yes. It's kind of funny that not funny, but yes. Anyways, thank you so much for everybody that shared. It was wonderful. I appreciate it when it's not just me talking. People are opening up, because I do love to hear other thoughts and opinions, and you know, learn from others and just hear their experiences. And it also makes me know you guys a little better. And I guess each other, everyone kind of, you know, hearing each other's stories and just going in a little deeper into people's lives. But I guess if no one has anything else to share, and Tim hasn't closed this call yet, we can see if there's any prayer requests.
Oh my gosh, speak of Tim, he shall appear.
Evie has a story.
Yeah, maybe Tim has a story.
No, Evie, I think she has. I see she has a story.
Oh, I think she shared hers.
Oh, okay, I thought that. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, so if you guys want to now just you know, say your prayer requests, type them out, or you know, just open your mics and say them. Whatever works for you, and then we can close with prayer. Wisdom.
I could always use wisdom. Never hurts.
Hi, Ashley here.
Hello.
Hi. Just prayers for my uncle who's just battling cancer right now. So it's kind of a scary time to be sick. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
Ashley's uncle. So pray for my boyfriend, online classes, and prayer for his house hunting, for sure. Anybody else? Oh, wow. Yeah, my grandmother is flying back home to where I was born. She's with us right now. She's leaving on the 25th. So she's 84. So it's kind of, I don't really know anymore. I kind of keep track of like what everything's going on in this world, but I kind of don't. It just freaks me out a little more. So I don't know how big of a deal. I guess it is a big deal, but it just, yeah. So I guess just prayer for travels, Kevin, salvation. Right, so without further, if anyone else has anything, I will pray to close us off. So if you guys want to bow your heads and we can go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time that you have given us to be able to share, you know, our moments with you, our moments with, where we were able to see your work being done. Not that we don't see it all the time, but, you know, these specific times we saw your hand, you know, be there right by our side. Lord, so I thank you for everyone that's on this call, Lord. I pray that each of us take something out of this call and take it forward, Lord. Lord, I pray for, you know, wisdom. I'm sure everyone could use wisdom, but especially Matthew, he's praying for wisdom, Lord. And I pray for Ashley's uncle who's battling cancer, Lord. I know that it's a really hard time right now, and especially to be sick, it's even scarier, Lord. So I pray that you comfort them, family, the friends, you know, be with the doctors and the nurses, Lord. I pray for April's boyfriend's online classes and, you know, house hunting and all that, you know, Lord, you know, all the little things that are happening in their lives. I pray for traveling mercies, Lord, for Evie and, you know, my grandmother's flying out soon, Lord. So I pray for traveling mercies. You know what's out there, Lord. You know what's going to happen, Lord. You know the plan, Lord. I just pray that you make it so that if it is your will, Lord, you be and keep them safe. And then, Lord, we pray for Kevin, Lord. I pray that, you know, you give him the strength to understand, to find your path, Lord, and just keep him close to you. I pray for everybody else that might need any, just any guidance, Lord. I pray that you may help them find a way back to you. Lord, anybody else that's having pain right now, please help them, be with them. And I pray for all the silent prayer requests that are on this call right now, Lord. You know them. They might not have been spoken, but you know each and one of us. You know what's on our minds and in our hearts, Lord. So please help us. In your name we pray, amen.